Ross FM, taking you through the afternoon.
Hi Sheila, you're very welcome to Ross FM 94.6 and thank you kindly for agreeing to speak with us today. We realise that you have an extremely busy schedule and we'll try not to keep you for too long. So Sheila, just to start off, before we touch on your writing, can you tell us a little bit about life growing up on Dublin's north side?
Well, first of all, I can correct you and say that I grew up on Dublin's south side and I actually moved across town in my 20s. I grew up in Walkinstown, which is on the south side of the city. My parents had a shop in the Liberties in Dublin, which is an old part of the Liberties. And are you from that area yourself? Are you from in?
I'm from not too far from Raheny, but I actually went to school on Springdale Road, Raheny.
Oh, right. OK, I know that well, too, because I'm not far from Raheny myself now.
Oh, really? So you actually live quite close to where I went to school?
Yeah. I live in Clontarf now. So I know Raheny well. I know St. Anne's Park well and everything. But yeah, but I'm a city person. Like I like Dublin. I've lived here all my life. And you get a lot of inspiration from the city, I think.
Yeah, people watching it. And I suppose there's always something going on in the city to actually give you some inspiration.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the dart is one of my favourite things.
Actually, yeah, if you're on Twitter, follow June Shannon. She has a fantastic hashtag, Dart Tales, and you get a bit of fun out of that particular hashtag.
Oh, God, I must have a look. I am on Twitter, so I'll have a look, yeah.
Sheila, you're an avid sports person. Can you tell us, how did you actually get involved in badminton?
Well, actually, when I was, again, on the south side of town, there was a badminton hall not far from my house, and I used to walk by it every day. And I guess when I was growing up, sport wasn't a huge factor in my life, but I just felt I needed to do something a bit active. And I went in one day, and I just picked up a racket, and I thought, oh, my God, I really enjoy this. And so I stuck with badminton. It's been the sport that I've played since my late teens, and do you know, when you're sitting around all day, when you're writing, you're sitting around all day, it's good to have something else to do.
Absolutely. And it actually clears your head as well, I find, personally.
Well, it does really. And I actually recommend this for people who are writing and who are struggling. Like, go off and do something active. And because that's the one time you can't actually think about the work that you're doing. You know, it's not in your head at that point. So, when I'm on the badminton court, yeah, you can only think about the game, you know. You can't be thinking about your plot or anything. So it does actually free you up. So I really enjoy it. And I think, I've been a director of the Sports Council and I'm still on one of their research committees. And, you know, people who play sport are obviously healthier. But I think they're happier as well. You know, it's a good release. Yeah.
Sheila, that leads on to my next question. You're now the director of the Irish Sports Council. What does your role involve exactly?
Well, I stepped down from being a director last year, but I'm still on one of their research committees. But basically, the function that I had in the Sports Council, and you know why I'm still there, is really to monitor, I guess, in some ways, the activity in Ireland and what people are doing, to keep an eye on the boards that run sport in Ireland to make sure that they're operating in a very open and transparent way as much as possible, and just to encourage people to get into sport and to have active and healthy lifestyles. I'm saying that as though my own lifestyle is an absolute shrine to activity and health. But it's not. But I have to say, once you actually make a bit of an effort to get out, it is well worth it.
Yeah, and what I find for me is getting up off the couch is the hard part. The exercise is enjoyable. It's the getting up.
Well, that's the thing. But it is that actual move off the couch. One of the things that's important, and one of the parts of it that I'm kind of very keen on is having young women staying active, because there are reports that in their teens girls stop playing sports for a variety of different reasons, but we'd like to encourage them to continue playing sport. And sometimes it's just because of embarrassment. You're getting older, you're changing a little bit, and girls just feel a bit self-conscious and feel self-conscious about shouting and jumping and things like that. Exactly. But, you know, once you're involved in sport, and it doesn't have to be terribly competitive, you know, it can be, it's just a very social thing, and it's a lovely extra social outlet to have.
Yes, it absolutely is. And you do tend to make a whole host of friends when you join a sports club and you get into sports and fitness. Sheila, just moving on to our next question here now. You speak about helping women to fulfil their potential, which is fantastic. And you're an ambassador of the Women's Fund Community Foundation of Ireland. Can you tell us a little bit about this and what exactly it involves and what does the fund do?
Well, the Community Fund is fantastic because it is, the Community Fund is generally, is funded a lot, obviously, by donations, but also by bequests and things like that. And people, it's a philanthropic kind of fund, you know, so people who are well off and who want to just give something back can make bequests to the fund, and they do that. And with that money, then the fund goes out. And what we do in the, you know, in the Women's Fund is identify women who are doing good in their community or who have potential to progress in their community but don't have the support that otherwise they might need. And so it's really identifying women with potential, women who are in particular situations, helping out in the community generally, but always trying to advance the agenda, that because women are such an integral part, women are the glue that hold it all together, you know. And it's to let women, you know, be the best they can be, basically.
And Sheila, can you tell our listeners how can they donate to the fund?
I should immediately have the website in front of me, but if you Google Community Fund Ireland, you'd be able to find it that way, yeah.
So that's Community Fund Ireland, and we'll give out information about that at the end of our show.
Fabulous.
Sheila, you had a very successful career in the banking sector. How did you find the transition between working in that industry to working as a published writer?
Well, I suppose the big transition is that in banking and financial services, it was a very busy environment with a lot of people, you know. And as a writer, it's in a busy environment with you.
Yeah, it's pretty hectic, all right.
Yeah, so it does take, it was a transition and it was a big, big change. And it was a long time before I stopped waking up just before, you know, at 6 o'clock in the morning thinking, oh my God, I'm late, I have to get up. Yeah.
So it is a big change, really, going from working for somebody to working for yourself, ultimately.
Yes, it is. But I think there's a part of it, because my parents had the shop, I was used to that environment of having to do it yourself. So mentally, it wasn't, you know, although it was a change in terms of, you know, the environment around me, it wasn't as big a change mentally as it could have been.
So it wasn't too much of a shock to the system?
No, it wasn't as much. And I think probably because I was, you know, in my late 30s and before I left financial services, I think I'd got to a point in my life where I was ready to make that change as well.
Well, we're delighted you did, Sheila. And I'm sure your readers are absolutely delighted you did too.
Well, yes, I'm glad to hear that.
Sheila, did you always aspire to be a writer, or was it something that happened in your mid to late 30s?
No, I was the person who always wanted to be a writer. I was lucky because both my parents, you know, encouraged us to read when we were small, and my mum would read stories to me all the time. And so I had a love of books, and I had a love of the whole idea of writing and sharing stories from a really, really young age. I was that nerdy one in school, you know, that when we got the essay to do, I was quite happy, you know. So I'll sit down quiet. Yeah, and we were told, well, look, today some teacher isn't in, can you sit down quietly with a book? I'd be going, yes, right, no problem with that. So so for me, it was, you know, I just got such pleasure out of it, and I got such ideas when I was reading other people's books that I really wanted to have a go at it myself. But, you know, you get caught up in life generally. And
it sounds like it's something that you're very passionate about, Sheila. It seems that you followed your heart in this regard for definite.
Well, very much so, and I think that was exactly where I was with it, you know. I kind of said to myself, you know, I'm kind of in my 30s, life is ploughing on, and do I want to stay doing the, you know, in banking for the rest of my life? And I realised that actually I didn't really.
I can't say I blame you. And Sheila, did you study for this, or is it something that you found came to you just naturally?
More or less naturally, I have to say. I did go to some... I think there was, I don't know if it was a course or a workshop or something like that that was being held in UCD And I went along to that. I think it was only about two or three nights, and I went along to that. And the only thing that that gave me, and nothing against the course, I don't mean it like that, but, you know, it just made me realise that there are lots of people who are writing, lots of people that have their stories, and lots of people who are happy to get up and read them. And I was just always really embarrassed about it. And then I said to myself, do you know what? If you want to do it, you just have to do it. And, you know, it's like going out and playing the sport and everything. Stop being embarrassed, just get on with it. And so that just gave me the confidence to give it a try and to, you know, sit down and say, well, I'm going to write something. And when I've got it written, I'm going to send it off and see what happens.
Well, Sheila, fair play to you for putting yourself out there. It's not easy. Sheila, how long did it take to complete your first novel, and how did you feel when it was actually completed?
An actual sense of relief when it was completed, actually. I think it took me, because I was working at the time, you know, I hadn't given up my job at that point. So it took me about 9 months to do. It still takes me about 8 or 9 months to write a novel, even though it's the only thing I do. But it takes me... Well, you see, the thing is, once you get going, you know, it gets a momentum of itself. And really, what happens is, once it's in your head, it's, you just have to keep going till it's out of your head. Do you know what I mean? It's like a bit of a drug thing. You know, it's like, I have to keep going. And, yeah. So it's pretty much the same ever since. But I mean, when I was, I think when I finished the first one, it was actually just a sense of relief that I could write something from beginning to end, because all the time when I'd been thinking about writing books, you know, I'd started stuff and I'd never finished it. And so this was the first thing I'd done to actually say, yes, I've started and I've got to the end.
Gosh, you must have felt an enormous sense of achievement, Sheila.
I did, but I couldn't quite believe that I'd written it. When I looked at it, I said, my God, have I done all that? Do you know?
Well, Sheila, thanks very much for answering the questions there. And in the studio with me here, sitting beside me, is my colleague, Danny. And Danny is actually the person who contacted you regarding the interview. And I can see here that she's clearly eager to ask you a few questions, because Danny is actually your number one fan, and she's read, I think, all of your books at this stage, and she's just really looking here to have a chat with you. So I'll pass you over to Danny now, Sheila.
Hi, Sheila. It's a pleasure to finally speak to you. So I'm going to go into my first question. From completion, can you tell us how difficult or easy it was to have your book published?
Well, having the first book published is always a little bit more complicated, I suppose, than, you know, subsequent books. For me, because my first book came out in the late 1997, I think, I suppose the route is slightly different now, because there's so much more digital publication, and there's so much, you know, there's a lot of other ways. Yeah, at the time, you know, back then, it was hard to get a lot of information, whereas now you can Google it and find it quite easily. So basically, I just sent my manuscript to a few different publishers, and actually I sent it to two, and one sent a letter back saying they didn't do that sort of writing, you know, that sort of book. That's a bit of a rookie mistake. A lot of people do that. You know, you should always send it to a publisher that has some experience in your area. And then the second publisher said, you know, we like your book, but it's a little bit young for us. And if you can sort of rewrite it with the characters a bit older, then we'd be interested in publishing it. So actually, my first book, the first book that I wrote, was actually a prequel to the first book that actually got published.
Tell me, did you face any rejection in the early stages? And if so, how did you overcome this?
Well, I think basically because I believed in what I was doing. And the rejections that I got weren't, it wasn't specifically towards the book. It was them, you know, the publishing house saying, well, that's not the sort of book that we publish. So I was thinking to myself, okay, I need to find somewhere where they are publishing the sort of book that I've written.
So basically, you have to make sure you go to the right type of publisher for your book. And do you usually follow your heart instead of going for what's popular at the time?
Well, yes, absolutely, absolutely. Because I think, oftentimes you'll see stuff where, yes, as you said, this is popular and this is not popular. But really, if you're going to write something, I suppose, refers to everything, but particularly if you're writing a book, write the book that you want to write, not the book that you think somebody else might like. You know, you have to do it. You're going to be with all those characters yourself for a long time, so you have to care about it. So write what you want to write and not what you think might be a good idea to write.
Can you describe how you felt when your first novel hit the shelves?
Well, I kept going into the shops to have a look at it. And in fact, what happened was I realised that the security guy in Easton's in O'Connell Street was following me around. He clearly thought that I was some kind of book shoplifter.
I can't even imagine. How must that have felt?
It kind of doesn't feel like the book that you've written. When you're looking at it, you're looking at it and it seems to be something else. And it's only when you pick it up and you read the words that you realise, yes, they are the words that I was writing in my bedroom all the time. So that's why the security guard kept following me, because I kept picking it up and putting it back.
Oh, well, I'd say if you went in now, Sheila, he'd absolutely know who you were.
I've noticed in some of your books the action happens in Spain or in California, LA. Do you get most of your inspiration from travelling?
Yeah, well, I do. I mean, I do like travelling and I do like getting into different places. But what I find is that, you know, no matter where you go, people are generally want the same things, you know, particularly women, because I generally write about women. You know, women want to do well for themselves. I mean, they want to be the best they can be, but they want the same for their children and for their families. And, you know, generally we all want the same things. You know, we want to have a good life, and that doesn't mean a good life, you know, being extremely wealthy or anything, but it means a good life, living a good life, and most of us want to do that. And so you just see that in some places people have different ways of approaching their life, but their actual aims are the same. But the thing about traveling is, you know, you look at people in different environments, you just get a different sensation from the places that you are, and it sparks off ideas.
Yeah, exactly. So out of the books you have written, which is your favourite and why?
Well, that would kind of be like asking somebody who is your favourite child and why, you know. So, yeah, I think you get the greatest sense of achievement from the first book that's ever published. I mean, because it is the first time you've done it, and you know, it's a kind of your dream has been realised and all that sort of thing. So, but you know, each book that I write, I try to do slightly different things with it, or you know, approach it in a slightly different way. And so each time I finish a book, those characters are very real to me and they're very strong in my mind. And so, I mean, I know it sounds daft to say the last one I've written is the favourite, but it is at that time, because I'm so close to all the characters. Yeah.
So what advice would you give to any writer starting out their career?
Well, I think the first thing is just to repeat what I said earlier on, which is write the book that you want to write. I think that is the most important thing. But obviously there's a gap in your head between what you're thinking about and actually doing. And the next most important thing is sitting down in front of your computer or whatever and starting to write words. And what I mean about that is not wasting your time on Twitter, something that I do, and not wasting your time on social media, and not wasting your time writing blogs about writing. Because the amount of people that write blogs about writing, you know, you'd have a book written by the time you have your blog about writing finished. So just get on writing the book. That is the most important thing. And don't worry that you can change things. So don't worry if it's not perfect at the start. You can go over it a million times, you know, but you need to get something down on paper or down on the screen to get you started. And that is the hardest part. It really is. But once you get something down, then you can work on it. You can edit it. You can change it. But if you've just continually looking at a blank screen, you're not going to do anything.
By the way, in terms of that, do you use the old-fashioned type pen and paper, or do you use the modern computer?
Well, my novels are all, you know, around 120,000 words, so I feel that my wrist can't keep up, my hand can't keep up with the speed of my... So one of the great things that my mum did for me was to send me off on a typing course when, like, I was about 15 or 16. And she's got me out there. And so it was the best gift ever, because I can touch type. I don't need to look at the screen. I can, you know, I can type away and I can type very quickly. So that's how I write.
So I just want to ask you a question here. It's a bit more personal. I know from my own experience, I used to do a bit of writing back in the days. And I found for myself that I need my special corner in the house. Usually it has to be a bright room with a big window, even a flower or a bit of color corner in there. Do you have a special place where your ideas comes to reality?
Well, I certainly have a special area in the house where I write. In fact, it's the garage, which was a garage when I was writing my first three books, but then I converted it into an office after I made a little bit of money out of them.
I love to visit that garage.
But yeah, it is good to have a place where you're doing the hardcore writing, you know. But quite often I also will use my iPad to edit my books on, and I'll take them maybe into a different room just to feel a bit differently about it when I'm looking at them. I could write anywhere, and I have written in a variety of different places, but my room, my desk, and I also have a big window which just looks over my back garden. But you know, when you go into a particular place, your head shifts into a particular mode as well. It is a good point. So, you know, also for people who are writing, that if you can set aside a particular place, then it's a little bit like going into your office. Your mind switches, and it's good to have that continuity, I think.
So Sheila, we follow you on all your social media accounts, and we've seen you have a surprise for all your readers next summer. So it's called The Hideaway, is it right? Your next upcoming book. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Well, that's basically, it's about a young woman, Juno, who's a radiologist, and she, when she's watching the news, she learns something, she finds something out, and it's a big, big shock to her, and it you know, really impacts on her life. And so she is distraught, and she goes away to a little house on the coast of Spain. And she needs to get away from everybody. And she goes away there basically to try and kind of think about what's happened and to heal. And of course, it takes her time to do all this. And while she's away and on her own and away from her family and friends, she's restoring the house and also hopefully trying to restore herself at the same time. And there's a nice cast of characters. Because it's in the east coast of Spain, where it's hot and steamy and lovely, and there's some nice hot steamy men there as well. And it's a book, I suppose, about, you know, a woman finding her inner strength, I think, and that's the key thing, and how we move on.
So the book is called The Hideaway, is it?
Yes, it's called The Hideaway. Yeah, and we always have a bit of a torturous process with the titles, because sometimes the things that you've originally thought of just doesn't kind of work with the book. But I think this actually does work very well with the book, because Juno does hide away, but the question is, does she come out of it, you know?
So tell us, did you find your inspiration for this novel whilst traveling?
Well, partly because I also have a house myself in Spain that I go to from time to time, and I quite often edit my books there. And again, it's moving to a different place and a different atmosphere and a different thought process, I think. And so while I was there last year, I just suddenly had the idea for this book, and I thought, yeah, okay, I'm going to go with this. And so I started it off while I was in Spain, and then I finished it in Dublin.
So Sheila, do you ever hit a blank?
I think what happens is you have lots of ideas. I mean, I always have lots of ideas, but some of them, you know, you think to yourself, I'm never going to be able to make that work, you know. And sometimes years later, you do get a way of making it work. So you put it into the filing cabinet, in your mental filing cabinet, and maybe come back to it from time to time. But there are days as well where you just think nothing is going to work, and you're afraid that whatever idea you have, you're never going to be able to turn it into a book. And they're the days when I go off and do sporty things.
So you must be extremely proud of yourself. If you could give one piece of advice to your younger self, what would it be?
I think I would say, just don't be afraid. Be confident in yourself. Have faith in yourself.
Yeah, believe in yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's for everybody, you know, I think that's the most important thing, because we get bombarded by all these messages about how we should be or how we should think or what should be going on in our lives. And, you know, none of those are important. What is important is what you want and to believe in your own ability.
Well, that's exactly it. I suppose the message we want to convey, no matter what you are doing in your life, just be yourself. And this is our mantra here on World of Women on Ross FM 94.6. Now, because we finish our questions, I want to tell you a bit of my story, a funny story. I don't know if I ever mentioned, but I'm originally from Romania, living in Ireland for the last 5 years. And when I first came here, I was bored in the house on my own. So I went to the bookstore trying to find a book to read. And from all the books, I have to say only one caught my eye. And it was one of your books, of course, called Things We Never Say, But Maybe We Should. So I have to say for 2 days, right, I didn't eat or slept till I finished that book. I couldn't put it down. So here I am waiting for your next release.
Oh, well, thank you, Danny. I mean, you are my ideal reader, obviously.
And Danny, actually, yeah, I think it's possible that you really are Sheila's number one fan. And that was actually a good story there about how you were here and your friends were working and you went in and just out of all the books in the bookstore, Danny, you just happened to see that one particular book. Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but always that was me. I used to say things we never say, but you know what? Maybe we should.
I think that comes into everybody's head at some stage. But thank you kindly there to Sheila O'Flanagan, award-winning best-selling author who has 23 published books at this stage and is a bestseller in the UK and Ireland. And she kindly came to the studio to speak to myself and Danny here on the WOW show, World of Women, for Ross FM 94.6. And we're going to take a little bit of a break now, go to a song, and we'll be right back.
Ross FM, taking you through the afternoon.